Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
According to the New York Times, they interviewed the president of the nonprofit group that helped organize the setup of the portal. And he said that there was always a concern that something like this could happen, but he goes on to say, you'll love this, quote, the portal was intended to be a community piece and would be self-monitored, meaning people in the community would stop people in the crowd from doing something inappropriate. Okay, well.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
So Vince is back on Monday, went to New York City, get his kid. I know he was going to try to swing by the Manhattan courthouse just to see if maybe he could see some of the craziness that's the Trump trial.
Was monitoring things yesterday, did not see any of Toronto on the CNN feed.
I don't think he made it over there. No court today in that case. That's Adam Roberts. You hear Adam in for Vinny. Thank you for being here, Adam. Debbie Lazga's got our roads. Greg Pancake Hill, who did double duty today, so thank you, Pants. Oh, and by the way, it's Friday, so you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Got ourselves a good old-fashioned breakfast coming up.
Oh, it's a good one today.
We got a great one, a great breakfast from Pancake coming up in about a half hour from now. An incredible morning of news. I mean, not only did you have the breaking news from the world of golf, where the number one golfer in the world was taken into custody because he ignored a cop as he was driving into the PGA Championship in Louisville.
What a sentence.
Yeah. I did not expect to see that. I did not expect to hear about the chaos on Capitol Hill that came from last night. We'll bring that to you later in the hour. Definitely did not expect to have a tornado just pop up out of nowhere yesterday, but that also occurred. Saw all of these scooters kind of pop up in the neighborhood now. Adam, you noted that they sprouted like mushrooms all across the city of Milwaukee. And then there's this unfortunate story, but hopefully this is just another clue. Hopefully this is a way to get further and further and closer, I should say, to closure. I'm talking about the Sade Robinson case. So Sade Robinson is the 19-year-old. You may recognize that name. She's been in the news a lot, unfortunately. Prosecutors say she was murdered and dismembered by a man named Maxwell Anderson. Maxwell Anderson lived on the south side of Milwaukee. He's now in custody facing charges. So Sade's leg was discovered in Warnemont Park. Remains were found in northern Milwaukee. A torso was found along the lakefront, not all on the same day. This all, you know, slowly kind of came about. Well, now it appears that an arm has been discovered on the shores of Lake Michigan in Waukegan, Illinois, which is about an hour south of here. It would seem to make sense if, you know, remains were to slowly drift their way southward. I mean, I guess that would be the theory there.
Right. We're about a month and a half. I think the first body part was found April 2nd the date. So about a month and a half out, figuring for lake current, et cetera. We don't want to speculate 100% because it could be something else, but the timing does
right.
fit.
The timing fits. And as of now, they're still looking at DNA evidence to confirm that that arm is that of Sade Robinson. We should note, though, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that the family has been notified, that the sheriff's office called the family immediately and said, hey, this has been found. Now, ironically, this happened on the same day that a news conference was being held in Madison. Now, there's a push to create a task force for missing and murdered black women and girls in Madison. State lawmakers are involved with that. Many victims were mentioned during that news conference. Some of the unsolved mysteries still on women that have disappeared from the Milwaukee area. And one of the victims mentioned was Sade Robinson. Dr. Erica Brown spoke, and she is a friend of Sade's mother, Sheena Scarborough.
She's been thrust into a nightmare, one marked by anger, disappointment, and profound grief.
Now, one of the reasons why they want to have this task force in place is that because they feel that oftentimes in, whether it's Milwaukee or elsewhere, African-American women, when they go missing, that there isn't not necessarily the same resources involved in trying to find them or investigate their disappearance. And Sheena's mother, I'm sorry, Sade's mother, has been highly critical of how law enforcement has handled her case.
Every piece of Sade's temple has been found by members of the community. And as Sheena's friend, I've witnessed firsthand the agony of waiting. The excruciating uncertainty that plagues her and her family every waking moment. Weeks have turned into months.
Yes.
And still there's no closure.
Now, Dr. Brown is quick to point out that Milwaukee police, and she actually mentioned a couple of them by name, who have been extremely helpful and supportive and trying to continue through the process. Same with the sheriff's office as well. But she also did remind everybody in rather gruesome detail that there's still a lot missing from Robinson.
I know that we are talking politics, but there's nothing politically correct about any of these situations, especially considering my friend still does not have her daughter's face. And I know that was harsh.
Yes.
But we can't afford to sugarcoat and gloss over the realities of what's happening in our communities.
So again, no confirmation yet on whether this arm is that of Sade Robinson, but it's sure seems to, it seems like that's what investigators are leaning toward.
You know, we're a month and a half into this case now, Eric, and one of the things that sticks out to me as we've been following along with this is the human community element of everything. Mind you, they still have not been able to have a funeral for Sade.
They've had services or a memorial of some type.
There was one at the Baird Center recently, but and a proper funeral still has not been able to happen because they don't have all of her physical body yet.
Right.
And we've been seeing these community efforts around Milwaukee County, other areas where people are going out for hours and hours and hours to try and find these remains. And mind you, these are friends and family members of the dead. This is not like, oh, it's a missing person, but there's a chance we might find them hiding somewhere. They might be alive. You're sending friends and family of someone to find severed remains of a loved one.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that, it's absolutely awful.
And one thing that I thought you pointed out earlier, which I thought was a good point, the idea of the community coming together and is heartwarming at a moment when you know that is so tragic. It's such an awful story. It's there, if there's a sliver of silver lining, it's knowing that like the community, and many of them are strangers, by the way, are willing and want to help. And it reminded us of a different story that's still underway as well.
That's Elijah Vu,
right,
who has also been missing. Now, I believe we're coming up on three
Since
months.
February, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the three-year-old up in the Two Rivers area.
Right. Still no word on any of his location.
It is 8:20 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:24 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead along with Adam Roberts. Vince is back on Monday. Chaos on Capitol Hill.
Where have we seen this before?
Yeah. That alliteration is used way too often, but it fits for this. What would have been a run-of-the-mill House Oversight Committee? Well, not really, but here's what happened. So the House Oversight Committee voted late Thursday to recommend a contempt of Congress resolution against Attorney General Merrick Garland. They're upset about his refusal or failure to turn over audio recordings of the special counsel, that interview with President Biden regarding the classified document that he found in his garage. They want that audio and probably would use it for the campaign. You know, they'd find a spot of it that, you know. And
yeah, help. you got to zhuzh up your ads somehow.
Sure, right. For obvious reasons, there's others who say, no, we're not going to release that audio. So anyway, there's a back and forth. They're going after Merrick Garland. Well, so at one point, some folks got upset at what was said to Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett out of Texas. She is a Democrat. She was kind of arguing with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican from Georgia. And the Republican from Georgia went after the other congresswoman's appearance.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you the one talking about. I
think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Order.
Your fake eyelashes. So going after the congresswoman's appearance was Marjorie Taylor Greene there. This is during a congressional hearing. So clearly that upset some folks. So they did say, hey, you know what? We got to strike that. We need her to apologize.
And I would ask Ms. Green if she would just make the apology. It's not that complicated. We don't want to get into face-to-face insults.
You will never get an apology out of me.
Then I object, Mr. Chairman.
You will never get an apology out of me. So that's where this then turns. Well, ultimately, the hearing basically says, okay, let's just get back to the work, right? And that's where Congressman Crockett gets frustrated. She's like, wait, we're just going to let this go. So then she uses that as a way to take a shot back at her colleague.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those.
It gets worse.
I'm trying to find clarification on what quality.
Chairman, motion to strike those words.
I had no idea what you just said.
We're not gonna do this. Look, you guys earlier literally just
voted to do
it.
Yeah. So that was what was happening in Congress. Your congressional members doing the good work. By the way, we also missed it. Like earlier in the back and forth, AOC even got into it with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Again, this is on the floor of a congressional hearing.
And they're what now?
Siding Unlimited, WDTMZ News, I'm 836.
Well, Eric, what a morning in the world of golf. The number one golfer in the world, his name is Scottie Scheffler, in Louisville, Kentucky, this morning on his way, day two of the PGA Championship at Valhalla Golf in Louisville. And wouldn't you know it, things just couldn't go normally. Taken into custody on his way to the event, here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Video from an ESPN reporter shows the world's number one ranked golfer handcuffed and being taken to a police car outside the Valhalla Golf Club. ESPN says he failed to follow police orders after a pedestrian was struck and killed by a shuttle bus near the golf course. ESPN says Scheffler drove past a police car and was chased down, cuffed, and taken into custody.
And there is audio from ESPN's Jeff Darlington also, which is the cherry on top of the Sunday.
What do we do?
I'm staying back.
Here's the thing. Right now, he's going to jail.
Okay.
He's going to jail.
Wow.
And it ain't nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it.
So there is a mugshot already posted all over
social
media.
It's everywhere. Just check your Twitters, check your Facebooks, check your Instagrams. You will see the mugshot.
We're told he's headed back to the course. He's going to try to play.
Yeah, multiple sources saying he has been posted his bail, taken care of that. He's on his way to the course.
So I was trying to think of some comps to this. For those who don't really follow golf, it's a larger story than that, I guess. So I'm thinking, like, imagine it's game 2 of the World Series at American Family Field, and former MVP and current star Christian Yelich is stopped on Canal Street heading into the, you know, American Family Field grounds, and he gets stopped there because the police are investigating a different situation, and he kind of rolls through there and they bang on the window and pull him out and take him into custody.
I mean, that's about as good as I could put it. And the other thing, we talked with Gabe Neitzel earlier this morning, and he said of all the people on the PGA Tour or LIV or whatever golf circuit you follow that this could happen to, it did not happen to a more boring, milquetoast personality than Scottie Scheffler. I think of it like the Andrew Luck of PGA golf, like a all shucks guy, like, oh, goody gracious, golly gee willikers.
It'd be Chris Middleton getting stopped game 3 of the NBA final at Pfizer Forum, and he gets stopped driving in. That's what it would be, and then they arrest him, right? That's another good comp. Would that work?
And mind you, again, he is on his way. His tee time has been pushed down the rack. He was supposed to tee off here roughly like an hour or so from right now. That tee time apparently has been pushed because you got to jumble some things around. I'm sure all the guys on the tour are just loving this, by the way.
It would be like Jordan Love walking back toward the field after halftime of the Super Bowl and getting pulled into custody. But then he'd still make it for the fourth quarter, Right? Is that a good comp?
What a walkout from the tunnel. You just hit the Stone Cold Steve Austin. The glass breaks. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's Jordan Love. Wait a minute.
We'll see. 8:40 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We do it every Friday, at least most Fridays, we should say. We got ourselves a special pancake breakfast next. 8:43 on a Friday. Most Fridays, we like to take a look at some of the things we weren't able to do on the show that week. There's different ideas, different pitches, if you will, that fall by the wayside, and that's where Greg Pancake Hill. Pancake comes from the name of, used to be a waiter someplace.
Somewhere.
Yeah, one of those places.
At the old Pancake House. He scraps it all together and gives us a delicious dish. It is the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
A project that was called to, quote, redefine the boundaries of artistic expression and connectivity by its promoters did just that. A well-intentioned connection tool, I should say, quickly turned into something worse than eventually it was turned off. You may have seen this story just last week. An organization partnered with a company called Portals.com to set up just that. It was a portal, and they put it in New York City. What it was a live constant live video feed, and one was placed in New York City, one was placed in Dublin, Ireland.
It's kind of cool.
It was great. You should have seen the rollout. Every news outlet was there. It was so nice. There was coverage of it extensively. There was choreographed dances, organizations and groups all getting together. A lot of B-roll footage of people like waving, and they were holding signs that said, "Hi, Mom," like someone connected from New York to Dublin relatives. It was so nice.
It looked like you're looking through a portal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. It was a giant screen, probably like, I don't know, maybe 50 feet tall or something like that. And you could see, look through a portal. And so everything was great. So what could possibly have gone wrong?
The magical New York Dublin portal,
no.
A real-time video link designed to inspire, unite, and brighten our lives,
yes,
has instead turned into a transatlantic window of offensive, naked, and drunken antics. Tonight, the portal is dark. And we only have ourselves to blame.
Yeah, we really do. You probably couldn't see this one coming.
Things, right?
Of course, exactly right, Debbie. So strangers with a camera are the worst. So what happened? That Ireland talk show continues.
Within hours of the video link opening, this Irish woman was arrested for drunkenly grinding on it.
All right, there's one. How about the next one?
Then there was this guy who reveled in putting things up his nose.
Okay, not terrible, but what are we doing? And of course, with all that, I know what you're thinking, right? Big camera, access everywhere. I know it's popped into your head. There was a certain exposure to cause all of this crashing down. The OnlyFans mom model who sees the opportunity.
So I just got the portal from New York City to Dublin shut down. I thought the people of Dublin deserved to see my two New York homegrown potatoes.
Okay.
No, stop it.
Goodness gracious. Well, in accordance with her OnlyFans page blowing up, I'm not using her name on purpose. She doesn't need more pub. I'm telling you, she's everywhere. She also got the portal shut down indefinitely. And this is what that Irish show had to say about it.
Ireland was doing the heavy lifting at the start, drug use, twerking. Mm. And then there's one set of boobs and like, we can't be having that.
Can't be having that.
Can't be having it.
According to the New York Times, they interviewed the president of the nonprofit group that helped organize the setup of the portal. And he said that there was always a concern that something like this could happen, but he goes on to say, you'll love this, quote, the portal was intended to be a community piece and would be self-monitored, meaning people in the community would stop people in the crowd from doing something inappropriate. Okay, well, now what are we doing?
What are we supposed to do?
Come on, man.
We work as a community.
Stop.
You gotta think.
Wait.
How out of touch can you be? So that's where it stands. Right now, the portal is dark. However, there is discussion of trying to turn it back on with, like, uber regulations. Like, someone standing outside of it at all times.
Oh, come on.
Like, a rope set up that, like, is, like, 100 feet in diameter so you can't get too close to it.
To grind
just,
with it.
Right. Turn it off. I mean, turn it off. It was a cute thing. Like, it was great. But, like, we clearly can't be trusted. I mean, members of our Congress are insulting each other. Like, it's not. We're not on a good path here. I love where the brain trust is at. It was a great gesture. It worked for maybe 12 hours. And then we did what we did as a society and ruined everything.
T's and P's to the portal.
That is your pancake breakfast special for Friday, May 17th.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Hey, pretty neat moment at MATC this weekend on Sunday, graduating day for many seniors. Among those receiving a degree posthumously will be Sade Robinson, the 19-year-old who was murdered and dismembered. There is a man, Maxwell Anderson, in custody facing charges for that. Her family will receive her degree posthumously on Sunday. So congratulations to the Robinson family. Hope that helps them move toward their healing process. Also, UW-Milwaukee, they are graduating on Sunday. I got a couple of nieces graduating from high school soon, so everyone's getting a diploma. My kid is, he's not graduating from eighth grade. He's receiving advancement or something like that.
I was going to say, do they still do like the graduating kindergarten and then fifth and eighth grade?
Yeah, they do. Sat through those.
Got
an eighth grade one coming up here, so we'll sit through that. It is a rite of passage. It's a moment to celebrate accomplishments and hard work and a celebration of inspiration. Debbie Lasga takes a closer look at graduation.
Okay, here we go. Wow, look at how many graduates there are. We're going to be here for a while. Hey, ever wonder where all the iconic things come from? They get together, line up in alphabetical order, dress in weird gowns and hats just to pick up a certificate that says you just went through one of the most intense expansion of your mental capacity you'll ever have, or at least the nifty leatherette holder for said certificate. But where does it all come from?
We trace a lot of the history, and especially the pomp and the circumstance and the academic regalia, really back to Europe. And so we've been doing things in the United States based on how things started many centuries ago, the late Middle Ages and the time of the Renaissance.
That's Vice President for Enrollment and Chief Strategy Officer at Concordia University of Wisconsin, Dr. Michael Uden. And he filled me in on all the storied, and I mean storied, traditions associated with commencement ceremonies, like the gowns.
There were practical reasons. Because we didn't have central heating, the garb actually helped keep faculty and students warm as well.
And if you're lucky enough to see a commencement for people picking up a master's or PhD, the amount of fabric in the gown actually means something.
Historically, the more fabric you had in your gown, the wealthier, or in this case, the more educated you were. And so the bachelor's degree candidates have pointed closed sleeves, the master's degree, a little more fabric, they have oblong sleeves. And then the doctoral candidates have bell-shaped sleeves, lots of fabric, with three stripes of velvet and velvet panels on the front of their gown, again, corresponding with their academic discipline or area of study.
Okay, so check that off the list. Something else for your graduation bingo card? The mortarboard.
It's reminiscent, quite literally, of the board used by masons to apply mortar, symbolizing then the skill of a master workman within the academic discipline. And in the 14th century, European universities used tassels to differentiate different levels of academic achievement. But what's kind of an American piece of this is the movement of the tassel from the right to the left after the conferral of a degree.
And now they're a customary decoration for your rearview mirror in your car. Check. How about the mace? Yeah, an actual mace.
That's often borne by the chief faculty marshal, and it really represents the academic integrity and intensity that that ceremony is supposed to signify.
Oh yeah, that's one of Dr. Uden's other jobs, the faculty marshal. Wow, there is a ton of symbolism at your average graduation ceremony. There's tons more that I just don't have the time to go over, like this song. Yeah, Pomp and Circumstance, written by Sir Edgar Elgar in 1901. Diplomas, guest speakers, sashes, and cords all come together to create quite the bingo game for your commencement enjoyment. Oh, and don't forget the ever-popular throwing of the caps. You know, where we all celebrate how smart we are by throwing up sharp, pointy objects into the air.
Hooray!
All the regalia, customs, and time-honored traditions, it's all just a part of simply this. We wish all graduates a hearty congratulations for your accomplishments. Now get out there and make a difference. Debbie Lozaga, WTMJ News.
For those graduating this weekend, by the way, congratulations, first of all. And also, your forecast looks amazing. Once the fog burns off, it'll be a high of 77 today. Saturday, chance for maybe a shower at night. Otherwise, a high of 83 Saturday, a high of 79 on Sunday. It's going to be just rock star. Forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Vince Vitrano returns on Monday. Steve Scafidi's got the Political Power Hour up next, and they have a lot to talk about for this Friday.
Woo, it's going to be a humdinger.
Oh, my goodness. It'll be phenomenal. It's next right here on WDTMJ.
Your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Milwaukee celebrates the opening of the new downtown Baird Center with a ribbon cutting and gala that will be followed by an open house for the public. The public is invited to view the new $456 million expansion from 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. Baird Development of Kenosha seeks $2.17 million in tax incremental financing from Milwaukee for a $55 million development in the city's Harbor District neighborhood. The mixed-use building project would include 140 affordable apartments with monthly rent as low as $500. The new Copper restaurant has opened downtown inside the space that previously occupied the longtime Buck Bradley Saloon and Eatery. The new owners are also working to renovate a second floor of the building for events, private parties, and banquets. I'm Linda Spice with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on News Radio WTMJ.
It started with a prediction.
Gonna go out there and play basketball and win.
And how many games?
Six.
It became the culture.
Chance of Bucks in six.
Being a Bucks fan means you live and breathe Bucks in six. Brandon Jennings created the prophecy. Tune into Behind the Bucks, the story of Brandon Jennings on the Bucks Plus audio network. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Available now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and streaming wherever you get your podcasts.
That's for the culture.
I'm WTMJ's Sandy Max. What makes senior living at Three Pillars so special? Let's hear from Three Pillars resident Lola.
I had seen a lot of retirement places. In the minute I drove into the driveway coming into Three Pillars, I was sold. The grounds are just beautiful. The management are just incredibly kind people. That mood permeates the atmosphere to me, whether it's the staff, the people that serve in the restaurant, and the residents themselves. It's just a lot of caring, kind people.
Schedule a tour today at threepillars.org.
AccuNet Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS ID 255368.
One of the best things about being in business for 25 years is having clients recommend AccuNet to their now adult children for help buying their first homes. That's how I connected with Dan and Allison, and let me tell you, they were fast learners. They quickly embraced our most powerful tool for winning offers, appraisal wiggle room. Their first offer